thank the Lord this morning for His presence. I ask that you pray for the word this morning. So grateful we can gather here together. I would like for us to kind of feel like we're some of those that perhaps have been sitting around the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
Isn't that what it's felt like this morning?
Amen.
Oh, and how much has He looked out at the people, and He loved people. For God so loved the world that He gave heaven's best,
yes,
His only begotten Son,
yes,
that whosoever believeth in Him need not perish, but can have what we have here this morning.
Yes.
This joy, this peace, this wonderful communion with each other and with God.
Yes.
Have everlasting life.
Amen.
Sister Clay was talking about when she starts thinking about heaven. Believe me, I think if she could have gotten up a while ago and shouted, I think that's what she said. I believe she'd have been doing it.
Yes.
The angels holding up that ladder. You know what? I thinking more of just the angels. I see some of our dear old brothers and sisters who have went over the way for a while.
Yes.
And they are a few rungs higher than I am. And as she mentioned about maybe 1 foot here and 1 foot over there. And they're looking back at you and I and say, come on, it's a good way.
Yes. Yes.
This is it.
Yes.
I love to hear the stories of people being saved by the power and mercy of God and lives being changed. I love to hear that. And I've told you some of my story. I don't want to reiterate that here this morning, but suffice it to say that there are many of us in here and have a testimony this morning of how He reached down and lifted me out. And I'm grateful for every one of those stories. We rejoice together when we see that happen. And that should let us know that God is able even yet today to save to the uttermost. There's nobody under the sound of the gospel that's beyond the reach of the mighty arm, of the saving arm of our God. There's nobody there. God reaches out and He's able to save to the uttermost. You know, if you're here today and perhaps inside you the devil's trying to tell you that you went too far. But if there's a yearning in your heart, I want you to know there you haven't went too far. You haven't went too far. There is a God who's able to make things new. But what I really rejoice in is when I hear these stories, like Sister Clay said she was 12 years old, I think, when she got saved. Somewhere around that, wasn't it? And Sister Charlotte said 8 and a half. There's some others I know of that younger than that.
Yes.
And I was talking to a fellow minister here the other day, and he was talking about when he first got saved, and he said there was a path in the carpet from where he sat down to the altar. And he said at 4 and a half that he got saved. And I asked him, I said, when was it you got saved for the, and you meant it, and it, you kept it? He said 4 and a half. And I rejoice in the keeping power of our Lord. I looked at Him in sincerity of my heart. Said, oh, I wish that was my testimony. So I want to tell you here today, if you're way out there, God's able to save you. But if you're young here today, and you feel the pull of the Lord, you hear His sweet call to you, give your young life to the Lord. He's able to keep you. And He's able to keep you from some pain that some of the rest of us have experienced. What a tremendous joy it is to me when I find somebody that can tell me I got saved in my youth and the Lord spared me from all that. That is a tremendous testimony to me. Amen. Some of those have went over the road. We heard Sister Charlotte say to us this morning that she has found, and she's not a young person anymore, but she said, I can tell you that his yoke is easy. Yes. And his burden is light.
Yes.
I found it so. His service is my sweetest delight. Thank the Lord this morning. Well, I want to open up perhaps to Luke, the 4th chapter. You know, we have a God who cares tremendously for us. And I believe that part of the great, since he's a compassionate God, part of the great motivation that he has through his love that pulls him to intervene in our behalf to pay the ransom reminds me of a song. Why should I benefit? How does that song? From his reward? Why should I gain from his reward? I can't give you a good answer. What was the reward that he gained on Calvary? Victory, salvation was. He said it's finished. There was a package that was accepted before the throne. The perfect sacrifice was delivered. The blood was shed. The fountain was opened for sin and uncleanness. And it was accepted, the beautiful sacrifice. Beautiful. God help us. We ought to see it as a beautiful, bloody sacrifice. That I stand only in the grace of that sacrifice this morning. And it was ushered up before the throne. And the Father accepted it. It's enough. And that sacrifice was opened up. Insomuch that all of us are ushered and invited into this place. For you and I this morning. Thank you, brother. But he loved deeply. And he looks out on the people that he begins to speak to. And he talks about repentance. Remember the beginning of the message? He preached the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And he talked about repentance. And he talked, why is it so necessary for repentance? You know what repentance is? Or simply, it is turning around, turning your back on that old life. You know, it's important that we turn away from our sin. That's what causes the separation. And the blood has bought us and paid the penalty. And we now enjoy this avenue where we are brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Brought into His arms of protection and His guidance and His love and His direction for all of our lives. That is the avenue He's brought us into. We no longer are aliens, but we have been brought into the commonwealth that is bought for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. But Jesus looks out on a group of people and, you know, some people looked at him and said, well, he walked it. And he said, if he knew what these people were like, he wouldn't be here with them. He wouldn't be letting that woman touch him. If he only knew, did you know he knew? He knew. And when he looked out over the crowd, as perhaps he's looking in our hearts here now, and I believe he is. He knows where you are today. He knows who you are. He knows why you are. Nothing's hidden. And He knows the complications of your mind. He knows the stresses that you're dealing with. And he invites us to come. Saints, sometimes we're overburdened, aren't we? Martha, Martha. Sometimes we're there. That's who we are. Sometimes he invites us to come and unload. Because he loves. You know, sometimes people, us humans, find ourselves captured in places we don't know how to get out of. If that describes you, and I just let the Lord minister to you today, because I'm not going to be able to describe where, but God knows where you are. And I just want to minister. If we can sit down before Jesus here for a little while and communicate to each other that God wants to minister to our souls today. There, sometimes as humans, we get captured in places we don't know how to get out of. You know, and most of the time it happens slowly. It happens incrementally. Step by step, we find ourselves in a situation we don't know how to get out of. I want to tell you that your soul is designed for light. It's not designed for captivity. I had an experience one time that I had a cage that I had built at home, sturdy one, because I wanted it to where I live on a farm, live out in the country, and I have always enjoyed wild animals and having, sometimes I catch little baby animals and raise them. I've raised deer, you won't like this one, I've raised a skunk before, and made pets out of them, all kinds of animals. I've enjoyed having them. Why? Always wanted to have a coyote as a pet. One day I was out in the pasture and I saw this little coyote get up and take off running. Well, I was on my three-wheeler and I took in after it and I ran it to the point where it got tired and I caught it. And I thought, I'm going to teach this coyote to trust me. Now, that coyote already knew what freedom was. And I captured it. I ran it down till it couldn't run anymore. And I caught it and brought it home and I put it in the cage. And I gave it what I thought I wanted it to have. Surely it would like dog food. It didn't like it. I tried to give it different things to try to teach. I would sit beside the cage and talk to it. It wasn't listening or didn't act like it was. And I put my hand slowly into the cage and I'd hear it start growling. And I'd put over closer and closer and pretty soon it would, sorry for that, but reach over and get a hold of me and I never did like having a wild animal think that its actions could drive me away. So I'd leave it there and let it bite and hang on. And so finally I got a glove. But I kept trying to train it. And it never accepted that. And I started thinking about humans. You know, there's sometimes many people, all we like sheep have gone astray. We find ourselves in the captivity of one who doesn't like us at all. Motives are bad. The devil doesn't have good motives for your life. He came to steal and to kill and to do you damage, to destroy. And look around and we can tell we don't need any other evidence but to look out and see those who have followed in his path. To know without a doubt that his path is destructive. Some of us have went down that path and it was the mercy of the Lord that brought us back, saved us. And I want to encourage you this morning. There were some words here in Luke, the 4th chapter, that we want to get to. It's at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and they're very important to every one of us. But this coyote, I came to the point I decided that I'm not going to tame this one, and I turned it back loose. Now Jesus came to turn you and I loose. Jesus came to make a difference in our lives. Over here in the 16th verse of the 4th chapter of Luke, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Notice he went back home. He was right around where he grew up. And the synagogue on the Sabbath day, he stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord." And I want to think of this for just a little bit. The Spirit, this when Jesus proclaimed that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, this was the moving force of God. What he was beginning to say here had tremendous import. It wasn't just words that was being repeated. Like you and I can read these words today, and we've heard them so and read them so many times, they can become commonplace. But today, perhaps there's someone sitting in this congregation that is in a place that you don't know how to get free of. And you know what the Lord wants to say to you? This Spirit, this breath of God, this very power of God, this was the breath that came from God Himself that said, "Let there be," and there was light. "Let there be," and there was the earth. "Let there be," and there was man. He's a creative God. He took a world that was without form and void. It seemed like a chaotic picture there in the beginning, and He brought order to it. And I want to tell you today, if your life is in that place, you don't know which way to head, God knows how to bring order in our lives today. A godly order that brings us to a place of security. We feel secure in His love, directed by His hand, ordered by Him. A God that cares about you. Thank God for His love. And Jesus came here in front of all these people, sitting in the congregation. Some of them knew Him as Joseph's son, and that's all they knew Him as. Some began to know Him as their Savior. "Who do men say that I am?" I want to bring us down to the question that He brings it more personally to every one of us here today. Who do you say that He is? Is He more than just a picture of the past? What is He to you today? Is He the one that can say, and maybe perhaps today your boat is in some troubled waters and you feel like you're about ready to drown? Peter felt that way. And he said, "Lord, if that's really You, breathe out some words of hope to me." And He said, "Come, walk on that water." He's still the same today. He's still the same God. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He announced to the people, "This is more than just my words. This is God Himself that's bringing some hope to our lives." Jesus had all the authority to say this, but He wanted them to know the Spirit of the Lord has moved so strongly. The fullness of time has come. The Lord has given His Son, brought Him to mankind, offered Him the Lamb of God in our stead, in our place, took our place. And He looks at us and now He opens a door and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." To bring some what? What is this? Is this not good news? "Because He hath anointed me, He hath put authority and power in what I'm about to tell you." There's great hope in these words. "Because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Blessed are the poor in spirit. Oh, there's no true value in being really poor with no money in your pocket. The value is in feeling your need for the Lord. Remember the man sitting by the gate beautiful and the great need that he thought he needed some money. And perhaps that may have helped him some in life. But what he really needed was more than money in his pocket. Peter and John came near, and you know the story. They didn't have money. Silver and gold have I none, but I have a riches. I have something. I have some gracious words to tell you. I have some hope. I have experienced something for me in my soul. And such as I have, give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be locked up in that cage any longer. The door opens up. Isn't that still true? Is it not still true? Does God not save people? He does. He's got the key for your cage today. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners that plunge beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Thank God for that today. There is a God who did all this for you and I while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies of Christ, while we were those who would work against Him. He still looked down on that menagerie of people, that potpourri, that those group of people had all different kinds of needs, and He could see through their soul and breathe words of hope. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Has anointed me to preach. Anointed me to bring the gospel. Anointed me to tell you hope is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. What does that mean to you and I? Oh, there. Remember the verse we talked about being translated? From where? The kingdom of this dark. To the kingdom of His dear Son. He's able to translate you today. Perhaps today you feel the heavy hand of Satan trying to press and trying to put you into his kingdom. I want to tell you, God wants to translate us. No longer do we have to stay in that old kingdom. There is a new kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. The words that he tells us today, come unto me. Come unto me. Translated by His precious blood from the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of darkness, unto the kingdom of His dear Son. And that's where we can reside by His graciousness, by the love that He has shed, by the very blood of Calvary. He opened this door that you and I can fly to Him today. Thank the Lord for that. That's truly a gospel. You know, it's been a while back, don't see it as much today as what I have in the past, I suppose. But it was almost like graffiti on the bridge. There's a few words that was Jesus saves. Remember seeing that? Jesus saves. Yeah. And to our minds, perhaps it got reduced to something just like to just graffiti. But it's a whole lot more than that. Whole lot more than that. Jesus saves. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me today. Just preach this gospel that says Jesus saves. Jesus saves. May that be translated into, conveyed into our very hearts, to the very personal knowledge that Jesus saves not just the world, but me. But me, praise the Lord. Even I can enter in. He stopped by. Remember the blind man crying? And he stopped. Thank the Lord. And he asked What will you that I do unto thee? Lord, that I might receive my sight. Let's go on here. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, this morning, there's a lot of reasons sometimes for brokenheartedness. Sometimes it's just the weight of sin, problems of life. And the Lord came to help set that straight. Give some hope and direction. I'm not going to tell you today that it'll all always just go away with a snap of a finger or at the blink of an eye. That's typically not the way. But sometimes the Lord does that. But He begins to set in order our life. Give you solid direction, a solid footing. He raises us up out of that old pit. He establishes our feet upon a rock. He gives a new song. No longer, Brother Philip, are you singing that the old song? But He gives us a new song. He even praises to the Lord. Yes. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And I know that many of us in here have experienced tremendous disappointment and loss. I think of some of the family, some of us sitting here right now. In another few days, you're going to be remembering the loss of your grandchild or child that Brother Bob Wilson's grand, Adina's little daughter that so tragically, just in a moment, was killed. Those are shocking, hard places. And they leave deep wounds, difficult for people to go through. And many of us, it was just a few days ago that I passed the fourth anniversary of my mother in a house fire that took her life. And that's hard. It's difficult. We have memories. We have these things we go through. Brother Marty and his family has just lost his father and his mother this last year. These are difficult places. Many of us. I'm just naming a few, but there's a whole lot in here. We deal with this. Do you think God leaves us alone in those moments? Jesus stopped by Mary and Martha's and He saw their pain. And the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. I suppose that's a full verse. I forget. I think it is. Jesus wept. You know what that lets me know? He cares about the feelings of our infirmities. He's experienced things like you and I experience. Therefore, He's able to succor, to help, to divinely enter into our grief, to our broken places. So God help us. See my dear Aunt Maxine over there. I'm sorry. But many people in here have lost loved ones. And it's painful. I just want you to know that He came. The Spirit of the Lord comes and says, He's anointed to give some good news. Let me walk a few steps with you. Let me hold you in my arms. Let me heal the places of pain. Let me give you some hope for tomorrow. He doesn't leave us without hope, does He? This is our Savior. This is the one that stands up before a whole group of people with all kinds of problems, running the whole gamut of needs. And He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'll tell you some good news. I'm here for divine help for you. Thank the Lord. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Yes, thank the Lord. That's part of my message here today. Because not only do I care or do we want to minister and feel healing in different other areas of our life, but we are really... I don't like seeing people captivated and caged up by the harsh hand of Satan. It really bothers me. When I see an alcoholic crying and telling me, and I've done, used to work in volunteer jail ministry, but I've heard so many stories and seen so many things that have happened in people's lives, and
and I wept with them and heard him. And I thought, Lord, I've told him there's a way out. And I prayed with them as they wept and cried in great remorse for what they did. I want to tell you today that wherever you are in life, there's a key that has been inserted into your cell door. And it's able to turn. And he says, you can go free. Don't have to be a slave to sin or uncleanness. You don't have to be a slave to drugs or a cycle of self-destruction that the devil has put you on. You don't have. That's what the Lord came to break, the chain. He came to break that cycle. If you're a young man here today and perhaps your father did it and your father before that did it and this is a pattern, I want to tell you today, that pattern can be broken in Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me today to tell you some good news. You don't have to be there anymore. There's hope for your change in life. There is this thing called salvation that not only forgives, but sets you on a different path. And you don't have to be identified as that person any longer. He gives you a new name, a new identity. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. You see, this one who spoke the very breath of God that said, let there be, and he's able to take your life where you are and breathe to you hope and say, let there be, and there's a new creature. He loves creating. And he loves to still form your life from your first new beginning in him. He loves to continue forming you as you go forward from here. He wants you to repent, to turn from the old life, and invest your future in him. Is he doing this? Why? Because he loves. Because he truly, compassionately cares for the whole crowd of people in every need. To preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind. You know, there are so many things that we are experiencing in this world today that would like to cloud our vision or give us a distorted image of what really God is. Let me try to be a little bit more specific. The world has a different view, a different agenda that they are trying to push and trying to get us to accept things that are unwholesome, ungodly. And the fact is, dear ones, we as a people of God need to stand up and be unified with him and keep our eyesight clear and true. That doesn't mean we have to be harsh or mean in any way, but we should stand for what's right. Because quite frankly, there are some people have went down a trail that is very harsh and destructive to them. At this point, they may be feeling like they are doing what they want to do. But there's going to be a time that they realize this is not fulfilling. And they're going to need some people that says, you can come back home. There's going to be, God wants you and I to still have a clear eyesight. Because God wants to someday offer eyesight to those blinded eyes. There are some people today have gotten so twisted up with the very carnal things that the world is pushing upon us. And it's not wholesome. It's not good for the soul. But God calls them and he wants you and I to stand true and faithful. Be in that place where they can see, I know there's the light of home right there, and I know where to go back to. And he wants us to treat them in such a way that when they get hungry and they get tired of the husks, that they're going to turn around and say, those people love me. I didn't like what they said at the time, but I know it's true. And I know where home is. And when they come back, you know, the Lord can clear up their eyesight. Does he heal blind eyes?
Yes.
More than spiritually.
Yes,
He also heals physically. He's done it. He's still able to do that today. But the greatest healing that I know is the spiritual healings that the Lord does. I'm not discounting the physical things that He does. Please understand that. But today I want you to know the Lord wants to minister to our spirit today. To offer hope. Recovering of sight to the blind. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. Bruised, there's lots of reasons for the bruising sometimes. God knows why. Sometimes it's so complicated, even in your mind, you don't know how to begin to. If you try to tell me, it might be difficult for you to say, but Jesus knows. Sometimes we can just come with our tears, our bruised tears, and say, I just need some help, Lord. And He said, I came to help to begin to unravel that. I came to begin to bring you some place of comfort, this place of protection. God has that for us here today. Set at liberty them that are bruised to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Year long? Oh, it's more than that. But it's in particularly this hour. I want to preach to you this morning that God is here and that God loves. And He came to minister hope and healing, to invite us today to come unto Him. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, because He has rest for us. I don't know where you are this morning, but I believe the Spirit of the Lord has been here to say, come. He wants to offer healing and help and hope. Pray for me.